When I found you in the wreckage of that ship, I considered leaving you. I was afraid you could bring trouble to us.
What do you think they want?
Just farmers, we're not a threat. They won't just kill us, will they?
You're delusional. You think those soldiers will show them mercy? Stop. We're gonna have to fight. I am a child of war. I find warriors to fight with us.
We might stand a chance.
We're searching for soldiers for a fight against the Mother World.
I could help you.
For a small fee, obviously.
You may want to hold on.
I'm here to make you an offer. To give you a chance at redemption.
We are beyond redemption.
What about revenge? Yeah! This isn't just pursuit of revolution.
I have found her. The most wanted fugitive in the known universe.
It's a new age for the universe.
A year almost complete, a year almost in the books, and here at Geek Mentality, a year of podcasting. Yes, I would say a successful year. You know, not a regular podcast, but a podcast with regular podcast specials. Can I say podcast more? Including another 31 episodes of Marchie McFly. Another 25 episodes of Sitcom All Ye Faithful that just finished up. And another 30 episodes of Movie Month for year 10 of Movie Month. And I'm not sure if I did any other podcast besides those. I know I have Silver Screen Superman and Big Screen Batman. Two shows that I just kind of left in limbo. But I definitely would love to get back to those someday. But on another part, if I'm not doing anything, something on Geek Mentality, there's generally another podcast I'm working on, whether it's Stranger Danger or Fine Movies, Fine Spirits. I have Slash, a podcast that I need to get back to. I have Reaction Comics, a podcast I need to get back to. I like making podcasts, starting podcasts, and then I let them flounder, and then I get back to them. That is my specialty. But one of my co-hosts, a frequent guest here on Geek Mentality, and a co-host of mine on Fine Movies, Fine Spirits, my friend Chris would often say, you know, you don't have to watch movies just for movie month, just for your podcast. And I said, you know what? You're right. I don't just have to watch movies just for movie month. But can I still talk about movies? can I still do a podcast about movies, even if it's not a, it's not a movie month movie? And that leads me to today. I wanted to watch this movie, and I wanted to do a podcast about it. I wanted to use this to kind of set up the General Geek Mentality playlist on YouTube. If you're not following Fans Not Experts on YouTube, it's another way to find all of the shows that we're working on. There's enough people where I can say we, but it's all the shows that I put out, whether it's with me, whether it's with me and my friends, or is it my friends and I? Oh my God, my dad, the English teacher, my friends and I. I apologize. Not that he knows what a podcast is or will ever find this. But if he does, I love you, Daddy. So that sounded really bad. But the point is I like to watch movies and podcast about them. There, I think that's where I was getting at. I don't even know where I was talking about when I was got to that creepy thing about my dad. But the point is, I wanted to watch this movie, and I didn't want to wait. I realized I can still put out movies, put out podcasts about movies here and there that just have nothing to do with movie month. They're like movie month extras, movie year. They're just Geek Mentality episodes. And today I decided to do that. I could have waited to watch both of these for movie month. I said, no, Michael, I already told you that. Definitely did not edit around this and then forgot that I already said this. But today, I'm here to talk about the 2023 Zack Snyder film for Netflix movie, Rebel Moon, Part 1, A Child of Fire. At least that's how IMDb calls it. In the film itself, it says Rebel Moon and then A Child of Fire, Part 1. So this movie is kind of, it's a big sci-fi movie, and my understanding is that Zack Snyder originally pitched this idea as kind of a movie in the Star Wars world, and I can see that, I can understand that, because this takes a lot of, from the world of Star Wars, it takes a lot from the world of sci-fi. Let me put it this way, nothing in this movie makes me think, wow, that's different. Nothing in this movie makes me think, wow, like, what a unique take on this. There's none of, like, none of that happened. Like, this movie is very, like, there's a formula involved. There's, like, you're expecting things to happen, and they do, and that being said, it was still enjoyable enough that I want to watch the second one. Because what would have happened if I decided, oh, I'm going to watch movie one in movie month, then I'm like, uh-oh, this is awful. Am I going to podcast about part two? And I know it doesn't have high percentage on Rotten Tomatoes. I know these things. But I don't care. I always want to like a Zack Snyder movie. I want to. But there's something about these movies that Zack puts together that they're, I don't know how to, yes, it's all the slow-mo, like copious amounts of slow motion. He loves the slow-mo. It is, like, used, it is used so much that it kind of loses its effectiveness sometimes. Like, oh, here it comes again. Where sometimes seeing things in full speed would be much more effective. Like, when you watch a fight in, like, an action movie, it goes so quick. You're like, wow, whoa, wee, woo, what, that's so fast. It's if they slowed it down to show every smooth thing, and it's just, it feels like Watchmen, it feels like Batman v Superman and Justice League, all these things, over and over. Like, it feels very reminiscent of that, the style. where the story is very reminiscent of all these space Star Wars movies and sci-fi movies that you've seen in the past. Like, nothing is like, wow, what an interesting take. And I think I've said that 10 times. I even think this podcast is reminiscent of itself because I'm repeating myself. But and I'm going to go through the plot as much as I can. I took no notes. I just kind of watched it. And I'm going to talk about it a little more in depth. But I just I didn't want to say any spoilers up front in case you're listening to this or watching this and wanted to eventually go back to watch this on Netflix. It is on Netflix. I don't think it's going anywhere. I don't think Netflix is going to dump it anytime soon. Part 2 is coming out in April, which I think I will wait for movie month. Maybe, maybe. Now I know that I feel the freedom of, I can just podcast about movies whenever I want and not have to just make it about movie month. Huzzah! But there were things when I'm watching this going, like, at some moments, the special effects feel, wow, that looks good. Other moments, it's like, wow, this feels like I'm watching a direct streaming television show. And I read that it was pitched as a movie in Star Wars world. Then it was pitched, like, Zack Snyder had this idea with another guy for a while. It was pitched for a video game. I'm surprised it wasn't pitched for a flamethrower. Now, if you only Spaceballs fans will get that. May the Schwartz be with you. And it was pitched for a television show. And I watched this. I watched this movie. It's 2 hours and 15 minutes. And I thought, oh, this feels like it was almost written episodically and then put together. And, okay, this is part one. Like, I feel like I'm watching a series. I feel like I watched 4 episodes of a series where we go from adventure to adventure to adventure to adventure. Big battle. The end. Season, end of season one or end of half of season. And some of it felt like you're just watching this on a green screen and it's just like everything, nothing there is there, but even with these giant designs and these giant, like effects and the mountains and everything in the background, sometimes to me, it makes it feel smaller because you know none of that's there. And it doesn't look realistic enough. And I'm not saying it was bad effect, because some of it was supposed to not look realistic because you're on another planet. But it doesn't, it makes it feel smaller because you just know there's two people right there and they're in a room of green. They're in the green room. Disney had this effect they did with that giant room. You know, like the giant projector room that Jon Favreau utilized for the Star Wars shows in Mandalorian. And I thought those were done incredibly well. And I don't know if this was similar to that, but I feel like it's not done as well in here. And there's one shot with like a robot hits. There's a couple shots where I go, ooh, that really looks superimposed. Like this is 20 years ago. And then other shots where it feels like things are actually right there. Anthony Hopkins is in this friggin' movie. He's a voice. He starts off, and okay, I guess I'm going to start about spoilers ahead. He starts off as the narrator, but then you find out he's a robot. And I don't know if it's a puppet or all CGI. Most of the time he looked good. There was one time where he got knocked over and he's on the ground. It just looked like a really bad shot. I'm like, oh, I guess they had to rush that shot. I don't know exactly. But he's there. So here's the story in the nutshell. There's this planet. They're a planet of farmers. But they have one woman who lives there. And she's only been there for a couple of years. We come to find out she's hiding there. Who is she hiding from? She's hiding from the space Nazis, which is very Star Wars kind of feeling. But they leaned into it more with this one. They're not from the mother, like the mother planet. Isn't the motherland? Maybe that's Russia. I don't know. I'm not good at history or politics or knowing things, but leaning into all that, like these guys were thin German looking, like with the crew cuts, kind of just very, very, you know, SS looking mofos, space SS. That's how it felt. Even the uniforms, like they were, he was leaning right into that. So they're showing up because they know they're farmers and they have grain and we want your grain. We would like, you know, just to quid pro quo. We'll pay you quite well for it. And we just need anything extra. And they're like, we don't want to do, we don't want to give anything to these people. I almost said the empire. Basically think of it as the empire. We don't want to give anything to them. So we're going to tell them we don't have a surplus. But one farmer's like, you know what? We kind of do have a surplus. It's not a lot. And that's what he was keeping it because sometimes there's droughts and stuff and we need it. But if we can give you that, would that work? And then the general's like, oh, you're going to lie to me? Kapow! And he takes his stick and he kills the main guy. And then he goes, we want 10,000 bushels. Like, we usually only make 12,000 bushels of some sort of seed. I don't know. At one point, the ship shows up and the people drop the seed in slow motion. It's like, Zack Snyder's like, I want to see that seed, each seed. I want to see each one, each fall to the ground like your hopes and dreams. And they're like, we want everything from you. And so they're like, I can't believe you killed the bad guy. He's like, I didn't know he was going to do that. And then the girl's like, I'm leaving. Why are you leaving? And she's like, because I can't be around these people. Like, you know what? You can't leave us. You should have fought. You know what? Let's get a team together and fight the bad guys. And that's the movie. Then they go, well, I kind of do know someone because the guy was selling to the other side, the resistance. He was selling with them on the side, so he knows some people. Let's go see if we can find them. So they're going to go look for them. They run across Charlie Hunnam, and they're like, hey, Charlie, we want, he's just like, I'm just here, you know, I'm just looking to make some money. And they're like, okay, what do you do? He's like, oh, I have a ship. I can take you here and we can look for someone. And they take you here and they look for this dude. Now I'm spoiling things now. They look for this guy. His name's Tarek. He flies a friggin', I want to say it like a horse with wings and a crow's face. Very much remind me of like the Griffin with Harry Potter. Is it a Griffin in Harry Potter? Whatever that thing is that he rides around on. And this guy's a slave, but the slave owner will let him go if he can break in that animal. If not, they're all going to be captive. He's like, I'll take it for a fly. Flies around. Everything's wonderful. Before they met Charlie Hunnam, they basically have a cantina scene where they're at a bar. Someone tries to hit on the guy. He's not liking it. A fight ensues. Charlie Hunnam helps them kill him. Boom, they move on to the next thing. They get this guy. He helps actually liberate the crow horse who kills the bad farmer. Oh, excuse me, I'm tired. Kills the bad farmer as they all leave. Then they go off to get another woman who fights a friggin' spider lady. It's like, it's showing all these little worlds, all these little pockets, trying to make this universe in half an hour to put this team together. And everyone's like, I'm in. I'm in. Oh, you want to fight the mother planet? I'm in. Boom. Bam. Like, no one resists. No one has a problem. Everybody's in. We see the woman. She's got friggin' lightsabers. They're not lightsabers exactly. They're, I want to say light swords, we'll call them. They're slightly different. They flicker and they're flat. But they're lightsabers. And I'm not saying any of this, like, if you don't know Star Wars, maybe it feels like, wow, that's interesting. But it's, I'm still in it. It took a little bit, but I'm still in it. So, they showed up, right, I remember now. They show, you know, the guys that give me 10,000 bushels and on the planet, they leave, but they leave some soldiers behind. And these soldiers are all pricks and they get rapey. They want to go after one of the girls. And then the main woman, she's like, I'm not having this. They're like, go away or you're next. She's like, no. Ba-bam! And she kills them all with the help of one young soldier who we never see again. But I guess he's going to help. He's going to stick around. and with the help of the robot guy, who we never see again. But they're all going to be featured in this sequel, in part two, because we saw that in the previews. Again, I'm spoiling things. So that's when they go off to do the resistance stuff. They go and get the woman who kills the spider lady, which reminded me of some fantasy books I've read. So I was like, oh, that's kind of cool the way the spider looks. And it did creep me out because, again, they were fighting a spider. And while all this is happening, there's this kind of other story going on where this like larger backstory. There's a lot of like, just here, you know, let me fill you in. Let me give you some backstory. I forget what it's called, but, you know, where they throw in stuff to let you know what's going on. And there's they're like, we're here for the slain king. There's a slain king. It seemed like the king wasn't that bad, but he had an army of people that worked with him. Who was in this army? The main woman, who is now part of the resistance, or is now joins up with the resistance. She was just in hiding before, but she was part of this like elite group of soldiers. She was brought in by this other bad dude, who we find out, I guess, is the big bad at the end. He brought her in. He was like, you're my stepdaughter. You're going to be part of this group. Great. You're going to watch the king's daughter. We find out the king's daughter has magic powers where she can bring things back to life. And somebody killed the king, the king's wife, and the king's daughter. I don't know who. They never showed it. Not sure if I'm sure it'll come into play in part two. But they just mentioned that. And since that's happened, there's been like a vacuum of power where there's other general's a bad guy, and he's got the Nazi looking dude who's kind of being the main bad guy of this movie, but he works for a larger bad guy, and he gets killed and comes back, does a little Demolition Man at the end. I'll get there. But we find out that, you know, she used to work for them. So that's how she knows how bad they are. So they all go to meet. They really want to meet these two people in the resistance, and the resistance is these two like blood ex, the brother and sister. And there's, I think Cleopatra Coleman is one of them. I've seen her in some shows. There was a TV show once. The Last Man on Earth. She was on that for years, for some seasons. And then the other dude, Ray Fisher, who I'm not convinced is a good actor, but Zack Snyder likes him, and he clearly likes Zack Snyder, because otherwise he wouldn't be back for this. He must really hate Joss Whedon because of the things he said, and WB working with them, because, of course, he is Cyborg in the Justice League and Zack Snyder's Justice League. But they're the leader of this resistance, okay? Maybe they play a bigger part because they seem like they were a big deal and they weren't much of anything. So they have the two people in the resistance, and they're like, you need to come fight for us. We sold you grain, and now we're in need of help. You need to help us. And the sister's like, no, I don't think that's a good idea. We have this army. We have a much bigger things to worry about than just you guys. And the brother's like, I'll go. That's Ray Fisher. He's like, who wants to come with me? And like, I don't know, 12 people in their army go with him. So the army goes away. You think you're getting an army. You're getting 12 people and Ray Fisher. You're not even getting them. Because then Charlie's like, oh, you know, I'm going to fight with you too. I am. And but first I got to make a delivery. I'm like, why are they making a delivery? Well, it turns out he's not making a delivery. He double crossed them because they're all worth money from bounty hunters, and he's going to sell them back to Mr. Space Nazi, who shows up. That's when the big battle happens. Ray Fisher, his people all get killed, and Ray Fisher, boom, dead. So all that stuff with the resistance, all that stuff with joining with them, dead, gone. The farmer guy who kind of caused this whole thing in the first place, he was like told, you got to put a bolt in the back of Cora. That's the main woman. Put it in her head, and, you know, it's fine. We can just move on. And he's like, no. And he puts one, I think he puts one in Charlie Hunnam's head. We don't actually see any brain explosion, but I believe he's dead. And they fight back. She ends up getting out. They kill a bunch of people. They kill the space Nazi guy, you think. But then at the end, robots show up, much like they did on Mustafa to get Anakin Skywalker. And it was like, it wasn't Dark's Rise. Actually, That was in the trailer, that when he rose up and he's like, I'm Darth Vader now. This guy got hooked up to all these machines. I kept thinking he was Mikey Day from SNL, but it's not. Got hooked up to all these machines. Then you find out he's part robot. And he basically gets dropped into liquid goo like Austin Powers in Demolition Man. Comes back up. And they put him in some sort of dream place where he meets the general, who's the main bad guy. And he's like, you got to crush everyone and bring my daughter back to me. And I'm going to bring her alive and I'm going to kill her in front of everyone, or I'm going to kill you. And they're like, okay, fine. And then he splashes back down and comes back to life. And that's where the movie ends. This movie it's some weird looking stuff. There's some cool looking stuff. There's some enjoyable moments, but I get why it's not considered a really good movie. And, you know, you don't have to have star power to have a movie, but it helps. So when a bad guy comes around the corner, I'm expecting something exciting sometimes, and you don't really ever get it. Hearing Anthony Hopkins, that's cool, but he just likes, it's like they just kind of found him someplace, and like, Anthony, read these lines. All right, I'll read them. Here I go. I am a robot, and I am fighting for the resistance. That's my terrible Anthony Hopkins, which please don't blame me for that. And then at the end, they're all together with like this one soldier. I was like, okay, I guess she's part of it now, because she was there for only 1 second. She was part of the resistance team, and all of a sudden she's like a major part of it, I guess. And the king, we don't get enough of him, but it's Cary Elwes. I'm like, I need more of that. I want to see how this guy died, or if he died. At first, I thought we were going to find out that this main woman was the daughter of the king. She wasn't dead. She was hiding, but that's not the case. Then I want to find out that the king isn't dead. I want to find something out. I want to be surprised by something, because even when the farmer guy, who you may know from such television programs as Game of Thrones, that's what I mostly know him from. His name's Gunnar. What else was this dude in? When he turned and did not kill Korra, but then instead went and killed Charlie Hunnam, I think he killed him. I wanted it to be found out that, oh, this guy isn't just a farmer. This guy is some sort of ninja, some sort of warrior, and you're going to find out he has an interesting backstory. Well, none of that was shown. He just did the one shot, and he's like, oh, I can't believe it. I did it for you. Well, thanks, man. Like, nothing. I forgot. They went to go get this general. I forgot they totally went to go get, what the hell is his name? Diamond Hunsu. They went to get him, and they're like, he's the great General Titus. We will bring him. He will help lead the resistance. And they go find him, and they go, here is the great General Titus, and he's a drunk. And I thought, okay, here we go. A guy who's a drunk, a guy who doesn't want to be part of this. This could be interesting. This could be fun. And they're like, let's wash him up. And they wash him. They wash him up, clean him up. And he's like, I don't want to be part of this. I don't want to be part of this. I'm not a general anymore. I let my whole army to death. You know, my whole team. You think that's a good leader? I don't want to be part of this at all. And then she gives this rousing speech. And he stands up. And it's like, I was hoping he'd stand up. The music is swelling, and I hope he was going to turn and go, no, and walk off. And they had to work at it a little more, or then he'd show up something. And even that isn't like that, unique. Like, that's still a trope itself. But he just stood up like, yes, I am part of your team now. And then he's part of the team. And he kept saying, don't call me general, but he's part of the team now. And we see him, you know, he'll be in the second movie. He's helping them train. It looks like they're back on the planet and they're going to help the locals train to fight the bad guys. Cool. I'm all for that. I've seen it a million times. It's like, you know, the second part of the season for this TV show, even though it's considered quote unquote movie. But it was very easy for him. That was easy. Very tropey. Didn't hate it, but didn't love it, and nothing was like, wow, this is different. Wow, they caught me with this. At one point, I'm going, what? This is like is this good acting? What am I seeing here? And then slowly but surely it pulled me in to at least to a point where I said, okay, I am, you know, I'm getting into this. At least the story's picking up. But you know, the whole thing, even with all the soldiers are so dismissive, like, hey, go help move these people out so we can move into our new house. And then they, of course, they're all, you know, they're going to sexually assault the young woman. Like, it was, but there's the one soldier who caught her eye earlier, and he's a nice guy and he fights the bad guys. It's just, I believe the, was it the Bare-Naked Ladies? Is that how they pronounce it? Or Bare Naked Ladies? It's all been done. Woo-hoo-hoo. It's all been done. Woo-hoo-hoo. It's all been done before. I want to watch that movie. Oh, God. What is it? Where the little kid is actually AI. And it's on Hulu right now. It's a big sci-fi movie. It's got Denzel Washington's son. And one of the dudes who did Rogue One, I think, made it. I want to see that movie. I feel like that will do something more unique than what I saw with this. But it was still okay. That's how every Zack Snyder movie is for me. The last one I watched was Army of the Dead. I was very excited for Justice League just because I got to see another movie with Superman in it. I enjoyed it. It was long ass. It was way better than the 2-hour Justice League. I'll stand by that. But even, you know, seeing that, it's like, I know this isn't amazing, but it's still something about it that I enjoyed. I need to go revisit Watchmen because I remember liking that. I never saw 300. I did like Dawn of the Dead, but that was before I knew who Zack Snyder was. And I, was it Army of the Dead that was, I saw, I think was that 2 years ago or last year that I did it for Movie Month, where it's basically a zombie movie and a Vegas heist all in one. Again, nothing special, nothing great, but okay. Okay enough, watchable. And that's how this was. This was a watchable sci-fi movie that was comfortable because you've seen it all before. And that's it. I think I'm done. Much like 2023, I'm done podcasting. I'm done talking about this movie. But I will be back, folks. Oh, there's my dog ready to go out. If you know this show, you've heard before, my dog wants to go out. She's ready to go out. But listen, Geek Mentality will roll on into 2024. Will you hear from me before March on this feed? I'm not sure. But yes, even though we've already done all three Back to the Future movies, Marty McFly will return in 2024, where we cover every episode of the Back to the Future cartoon. Now, I know this isn't officially Marty McFly, but I'm looking. We're looking. My wife and I are looking at dates for possibly going to see the Back to the Future musical. Right now, the closest place is in Schenectady, I hope I said that right, New York, which is about a 3.5-hour drive, which means, okay, baby, I'll take you out, which means a hotel room and just a long, you know, 2-day excursion just for Back to the Future, the musical. But damn it, it's worth it to see that musical. It's worth it for my Back to the Future love, and it's worth it for Marty McFly. Then, of course, we'll be back in June for year 11 of Movie Month, as always. And we will be back in in December for another year of sitcom, All Ye Faithful. I have other ideas, but I don't know. I haven't flushed them all out yet, so nothing to announce here. But listen, if you want to hear more of me, and for some reason some people do, go to fansnotexperts.com, find all the other podcasts there, or go to youtube.com/@fansnotexperts on YouTube. Just go there. And fansnotexperts.com is the easiest place to find this podcast and every other podcast I do. And, of course, follow me on all the socials, linktree.com/geekmentality, linktree.com/geekmentality. You can find all kinds of links there. But on Twitter, Instagram, Threads, Mastodon.social, it's @GeekMentality. On Blue Sky, it's Mikey-C. On Facebook, it's Fans Not Experts. And that's it. So, happy end of the year, everybody. Get ready for 2024 and plenty, plenty more of podcasts. But until then, thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. And here is my theme song.
This is my podcast. I made it. Geek Mentality is what I named it. And I think you should listen and subscribe. Cause I'm kinda funny and awesome. I think that I'm worth your time. And I'm kinda handsome. My mom says, please listen and please subscribe. At least listen to this episode.
Fans Not Experts.